Please be seated. And again, thank you so much for being here. We are all so blessed to have you here. The body of Christ itself is the presence of Christ. And in fact, everyone being here is itself an epiphany. It is a revelation of Christ. And that is what the epiphany is. The epiphany is a revelation of Christ. It is a revelation of who he is. See, that is what this evening celebrates. It is a light to the Gentiles. Father Melanson preached about this a few weeks ago when he talked about Simeon, the old man waiting in the temple, and he finally drew up the baby Jesus into his hands, and he cried out and he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light prepared for the Gentiles to be the glory of thy children Israel." Not just for Israel, but a light for the nations. Now, at that time, he was just a little Jewish baby. To a little Jewish carpenter and his little Jewish wife, who had some scandal associated with her. And they went back to their hometown. And they were camping out in Bethlehem. And sometime, we had some people way off in the east, quite possibly in Persia. Now, Scripture calls them magi, which doesn't help us very much clear up anything about them. Because there's only one other place where that word is used in Scripture, and it describes the Egyptian sorcerers in Pharaoh's court. So that really doesn't help us out too much. When Moses and Aaron go in and start telling Pharaoh that he needs to let the people go, and Pharaoh's people say, "Oh, we can do everything that they've done." And Moses drops his staff down and it turns into a snake. Pharaoh's sorcerers, his magi, throw theirs down and it turns into a snake. And Pharaoh says, "See, that's nothing special." He doesn't notice that Moses' staff turns into a serpent and devours the other two. So that really doesn't help us out a whole lot. And in fact, there's never anything said about the number. We only deduce that there are three. We actually just sort of associate it by tradition because these magi bring gold and frankincense. But wait, there's myrrh. I've been waiting to use that all day. Yeah, but I'm going to save that one for next year, too. All right, so I'll let that sink in a little bit longer. But wait, there's myrrh. All right, so, but where do these guys come from? Now, there is no way to know for sure, but here's my pet theory. When Daniel was taken into exile, he was a young man, somewhere between 12 and 16 years old. He was taken off into exile into Babylon. And he survived ruler after ruler after empire. He started off under the Babylonian exile, and he ended with the Persians. And he ended as one of the leaders in the Persian Empire. Now, he was still a slave, but he was one of those slaves that was one of the lead administrators. He had become someone who survived a dynastic change. Not just a king and to another king, not just going from Edward the VII to Henry the VII, not just from Richard III to Henry VI. No. He went from the Babylonians to the Persians. And he was so well respected, so highly esteemed, that when the Persians went in and killed everybody, they got to him and said, "No, we like him. Let him live. He's important." And they left him in charge of everything. Can you imagine the esteem and prestige that God had put on this man? Can you imagine the acclaim that they had? That when a whole dynasty was overthrown, when they killed thousands of people in overthrowing empires, there's some slave who is one of the highest ranked slaves in the empire, and they come in and kill everybody, and they get to this guy, and they not only let him live, they keep him as one of the highest administrators in the new empire. Years later, hundreds of years later, people where he had lived know that there's a Messiah that's going to be born. And they look to the stars and they see something incredible in the sky. There's all sorts of documentaries and all sorts of theories and conjecture about what it is. But somewhere, way out there in the east, there are scholars. There are wise men who look up into the sky and go, "Wow! That is incredible. That is a sign we've been waiting for. We need to head to Jerusalem." And they pack up and they leave. And this is not a short journey. If this was the glorious manifestation, if they saw some glimpse of the angelic appearing which the shepherds saw, it was 18 months before they could have traveled that far. This was a planned out caravan. This was not three guys on three camels. This was not one guy with a packet full of gold and a guy with a Ziploc baggie full of incense, which is how they mail it to you nowadays, by the way. And when they got there, they sought out the scribes, the king's scholars, and they said, "Search out your scriptures. Find this guy." And they went to him and they adored him because they knew what was coming. They didn't have the greatest knowledge, but they had gotten cued in. And I believe these were the intellectual descendants of Daniel. Now, this is not gospel truth. As Paul says, this isn't from the Lord, this is just from me. You're never going to find this as like gospel truth. This is just a theory. It's a good theory. But there it is. And they went to this room. It's a house. And there was Mary and this child. And they fell down and they worshipped him and they gave him the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. And they offered him the very best they had. They adored him because they knew this was something incredible. They'd been waiting for him for 600 years. They'd been warned that there would be a deliverer for all that time. And this was his appearance. This was where he was revealed. That's what an epiphany is. It's where God reveals something, where something appears. And they walked in and they beheld his glory. Not a king on a throne, not a warrior in all his glory, in all his armor, with all his sword and shield. Some little kid toddling around, probably getting into the cupboards, pulling out the dishes. Little child. But they knew, this is him. That same word, actually the word epiphany, isn't really used in the New Testament. You can never look through Scripture and say, oh, there's an epiphany. But the Greek word is epiphanein, epiphano, to reveal, to appear. Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, according to his own purposes and grace, which was given us to Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. This is a passage for all of us. This is a passage for this year. We've come out of Christmas. We've gotten our time of reflection. We've passed through that. We've had a brief period of just jubilant celebration. And now we can sit back and say, it's time for God's glory to be revealed. It's time for God to show himself. It's time for the people of Jacksonville to see God's glory. Amen. You were supposed to say amen. It's time for God's glory to be seen in Jacksonville. Yeah. Thank you. Remember, we're charismatics, y'all. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. For he who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began, and has now been revealed by the appearing of Christ Jesus our Savior. He's made known. We've seen him. We've celebrated his birth. We've celebrated his childhood. We're now about to celebrate his baptism. That comes on Sunday. And once he's baptized, he goes off and begins his ministry. He goes off and starts what comes next. This is a time for us. He abolished death and brought life and mortality to life. And we have been appointed preachers and apostles and teachers of the Gentiles. This is our call. Our call is to make epiphany known in this city, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes. Our call is to make God's glory revealed. That is what we are to do. We are to be epiphanies. We are to make his glory known. Now, I don't know if that's the vision for the year or if that's just what we're called to do in general or right now, but this is our call. We are called to be epiphanies, to make his glory known and to reveal him in this city, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools. And the reading from the Old Testament is so wonderful. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. Lift up your eyes around you and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall become to you. This is our call. Our call is to make his glory known and to rejoice in what he's going to do. And to do that, we offer him the very best we have. Our gold, our frankincense, our myrrh, not just in terms of our cash, our gold, that which is precious to us, our time, our incense, our prayers. In Scripture, incense and prayers are always connected together. That's why day and night, night and day, incense arises. That was the call of the people to lift up prayers to the Lord morning and evening. That was their sacrifice of prayer. And myrrh, that which was an embalming fluid that kept the body from decaying. That is the idea of keeping yourself from the world, keeping yourself from corruption, keeping yourself from sin. We're called to pray. We're called to give him our best. We're called to keep ourselves from the corruption of the world. We're called to make these offerings to him that we might be the epiphany for this city. May God give us the grace to make it so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.